This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by MHA of Dutchess County, Foaman Wash Car Wash, Juniors 2, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Locks That Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman Kleiman Collins and Sape LLP, Attorneys at Law, Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation. Before we get into this episode, we're going to be sharing some music from musician Shane Renison. The first song that we're going to be showing off is Lonely Days. Check out the music video here.
Started feeling pressure, trying to be the best when they won't let you. I don't understand, I don't understand, I don't understand, I don't understand. Try to hide the scar with a tattoo, but every time I see it, I see you. I don't understand, I don't understand. Although these lonely days, still be sleeping with you. Wonder what you're doing, wonder where you are. Even though these lonely days, still be sleeping with you. Wonder what you're doing. Cause these lonely days get harder without you here. Honestly, I started feeling pressure the moment that you called home. Cause your voice felt so cold.
Let's stay curious, keep an open mind, and as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. Welcome to Walsh Wednesday. Hey there, everybody, and thank you very much for tuning in to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, coming to you from the MHA studios. We got a great episode for you guys today. Funny enough, around this time last year, a little bit more than a year, we had this musician on when we had just revived Walsh Wednesday, when it was still in my family room, and I was convincing people, please, this is going to be a good thing, I swear. Well, he was one of the few musicians that I was able to snag into that. We had a great conversation last year. We've stayed in touch, and we're really excited to have him in here today. With us, we have Catskill musician Shane Renison. Shane, how are you, man?
Doing well, man. Thank you for having me back.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've definitely upgraded since then.
It's an upgrade.
But
feels good.
It feels nice. But you have certainly upgraded since then as well. You've done a lot of work in the past year. And I remember when we were messaging, I want to say it was like January time frame, and I watched your Lonely Days video.
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow. You had some nice videos out before, but you really stepped it up with one, the production, the storytelling, the narrative of it all. I was really impressed by that video. So that being kind of like one of the latest things to help reconnect us to get you on the show, You want to talk about that real quick, the inception of the Lonely Days video and just the vibe of the song as well.
Yeah. So funny enough, Lonely Days was actually the first song I basically went to the lab in early 2025, so early last year, with my producer, and I just wanted to, you know, nothing I was doing was really hitting or resonating with anybody, and I wasn't sure if I was doing something wrong or if it was just a matter of continuing to play the game, so to speak. So when we sat in like January 2025, I was talking to my producer. I was like, I want it to be a little bit more for me, you know what I mean? I felt like up to that point I was, you know, putting together all these projects because I thought this is what I had to do, or this is what it had to look like and sound like, or this and that. So I told him, I was like, I want to be a little bit more, say, controlled with how I'm releasing the music, controlled with how I'm making it, so I'm not feeling the need to just constantly push. So we came up with the idea of, you're like, you know what, this is coming following my debut album Irrational, which was I was very proud of. It's 11 songs.
I really enjoyed this album. I enjoyed it when you put it out, and I thought it was really good in the videos you were putting out then. It really enjoyed.
Yeah.
So hey, check it out. He's got a website out, and you can listen to it online. We'll talk about that more. But yes, Lonely Days now.
So it took a lot out of me making that album. It took me almost 2 years from start to finish to write, produce, get everything together. Right before I released it, I felt so good about it. I really felt I got it to a place that I was happy with it, and I was happy to share it. And then, you know, I put it out, and just at the level I'm at, and no one cares. You know, it's like, it's hard to get people to care, especially when you don't really have a name for yourself. So even though you pour all this work into this project or whatever, you know, unless you get lucky and it breaks some way or another, like it might fall flat, you know, in terms of like numbers and engagement and stuff like that. And that really affected me in a way that I was like, man, like, why don't other people see the value in this work the way that I do? And I sat with that, and I was like, you know what, maybe I'm putting too much into, certain areas. I think I need to spread out kind of my energy and stuff like that, or at least more focus my energy, as opposed to like for that project, just everything went into it, all the money, all the time, the energy. So I was really trying to get a little bit more controlled with my release patterns, and my production efforts and stuff like that. So we basically went in early January of last year, and I had about 7 songs. I was like, you know what? I'm going to just only release singles now. I'm going to produce singles, and that way I can focus on one song at a time, build a whole visual identity for that song, and then present it. And that was my way of like kind of stretching my effort a little bit, so that, because an 11 song album, you know,
it's a lot.
Yeah, people listen to 3 songs and they're like, oh, your album's great. They don't know that 3 of those songs maybe weren't that good because they didn't even listen to it.
Maybe.
So it's just natural that some of those songs get kind of buried. Especially now, nowadays the way people kind of consume music is very different, much more fast paced. So I was like, you know what, I'm gonna force people to listen to every one of my songs by really stretching the effort, so that it's just one song at a time, one single at a time. I can build a visual world around each song. So Lonely Days was the first song kind of in that pipeline that we worked on. And it really helped kind of set the stage for this next, I don't want to call it an era of me moving into creatively. But, we're kind of moving through that release cycle. So Lonely Days was the first one. We just put out the 4th one recently called Midnight Special. So I've been aiming for a song a month. It usually stretches to like every 2 months I'll get a new song out. So I have a couple more to release. In that release cycle, which will carry us further into this year, 2026. And then my idea is to just get back in the studio, have new singles ready for when those other songs are done.
Yeah.
And then just continue to release consistently that way.
Yeah.
So Lonely Days was the first the first one out of the gate. So I was sitting on it for almost a year.
Oh, wow.
We put it out.
Okay.
It was finished. It was, you know, I was looking at it for a year, basically. And I knew that was going to be the first one to, like I said, set this new wave in motion for me.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make that the biggest one out of the gate. So I was like, all right, let's shoot a music video for this one. Because, you know, again, music videos, they just take so much time, so much energy, so much coordination.
They do. They do.
You know, you're working with other artists. I was very fortunate to be working on that music video with a longtime friend of mine that I went to high school with, who's a phenomenal filmmaker. So the collaborative effort was, I mean, it was just awesome. You know, like, yeah. You know, him and I just kind of getting together over a coffee, just going over different ideas and stuff. And the concept for that one, you know, it was called Lonely Days, and it's basically this, you know, it's when, like, say you're in a relationship that's bad and you guys, you break up and go your separate ways. And then when you think back about that person, it's the idea of like, yeah, it was great. All those memories are great. But even though I'm lonely now without you, I think I'm better off. So that's what that whole song is about. Like the main lyric is, although these lonely days still beat sleeping with you, I wonder where you are. Like, I wonder what you're doing, even though I know I'm better off without you.
Yeah.
And I think we all kind of go through that when we kind of separate from somebody that we spend a lot of time with.
Oh, yeah.
So I was trying to figure out how to conceptualize that song. I started thinking of like shooting it in an abandoned space.
Yeah.
We were very fortunate to be able to shoot in an abandoned mall, which was really cool.
Yeah, that was pretty dope.
Yeah, and the perks of being in the Catskills is, you know, I thought it was going to be hard to get access to this mall, and I just meet the security guards. Oh, no problem. Throws me the keys. So like, hit me and my producer, and we basically just had this whole abandoned mall. No security. It was just us in the space. I was like, man, like, nowhere else can you just get this access.
Right.
But it was great. You know, we spent a couple days shooting there. And the highlight of that whole shoot was there's this one part of the song where the bridge kicks in, and I love the bridges of songs because I look at it as an opportunity to just flip the song. Like, yes. whatever the listener thinks the song is, the bridge is your one opportunity to like completely flip it on its head.
Yes.
And I love that because it's just a cool challenge, like from a songwriting perspective.
Yep.
So I'm like, all right, what is the bridge? It's got to be different. The bridge has to really hit visually. So I just had this idea of like I was in a tuxedo. And so it was kind of like a stripped down tuxedo. Like, I'm in like a dream state.
Yep.
So I was like, for the bridge, I want to be falling into water. So yeah. I basically, we shot at this, this pool, and the highlight of the music video is me being put, the actress just pushes me into a pool in a full tuxedo. And it was a lot of fun to shoot. And we got a lot of like behind the scenes footage that I was able to share that really shows kind of just how silly it can be. You know what I mean?
Cause
like, you know, when you're jumping headfirst into a pool in a tuxedo, like, you can't take that too seriously. So it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And like I said, I had the video, I had the song, everything kind of done in my hand for months. And I was basically just waiting to clean up the business side of my music. I switched to a new distributor. So now I'm with Symphonic Distribution, which they're much, much cleaner than who I was working with earlier.
I've heard good things.
Yeah, they're really good. They're really forward thinking. So they're always adding new integrations, new technology and stuff that really give the artists, especially independent artists, an advantage when you're releasing and stuff like that. It makes it just really easy. We started producing in Dolby Atmos, like spatial audio.
Really? Okay.
Symphonic's really, really good with that integration. So yeah, it's just a lot cleaner. So I had to wait for like, you know, at that time I had about 25 songs on the streaming platform.
So when you have
to transfer 25 of your songs, like, you know, you make it sound like a simple thing. Like, oh, let me just get a new distributor.
Nope.
And it's like, dude, like, the amount of paperwork, the amount of, you know, you got to transfer all the intellectual property, make sure it's all, you know, done properly and stuff. So that took months. So I basically had Lonely Days ready until all of the infrastructure was kind of built. As soon as the infrastructure was ready, which was like, you know, late August, coming out of the summer, I was like, all right, let's put the wheels in motion. So Lonely Days was the first kind of chess piece. I got that set. And then I have these other singles, like I said, that I'm kind of just piecing in behind it. It's been good. I think creatively, it's been a much healthier kind of rhythm for me because especially like the way I look at social media now, since I'm building a whole like visual world around each single, it gives me time to like make content specific to the song, package it, schedule it for release or schedule it for posting on social media and stuff like that. So now, you know, I used to post stuff on social media and I stare at it and be like, oh, five likes, six likes,
yes.
seven likes. And, you know, you have like this number in your head you want to get to.
Yep.
And like all of that is going away. Like there's no, you can't do that. It's so unhealthy. You know, when you view social media from that lens. So this new creative rhythm for me has been very good because I know the work that I'm trying to build. I know the world that I'm trying to build visually.
Yeah.
Once I feel good about it and I roll it out, that's it. I hit post, I turn my phone off.
Yep.
And like, it's just been a lot better from that perspective, because I'm not asking myself, what do I need to post? When do I need to post? You know, it's much more structured, and I can just post it, move on. Because now when I go look back through my social media and stuff, I'm not looking at the views so much as I'm looking at just the cohesiveness of the projects.
Yes.
Where it's like, all right, here's this visual world I built for that song. Here's the visual world I built. And like, I can see that.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I can see it, then anybody that stumbles on my page, they'll see that rhythm too. And they might not see it as structured as I intended it, but they'll at least feel the rhythm of it. And that to me has become really important because, you know, like I said, the creative rhythm, you got to find a healthy balance with it. And in 2026, that's really hard.
It's hard to do.
It is.
It is without a doubt hard to do. And we were talking before getting onto the mic officially, like, well, how this all came to be.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is through a lot of the same things that you were learning as well. Like, I had to stop staring at the phone, looking at the view count, looking at the like count. And one of the nice things for me was finding platforms where I could schedule everything out ahead of time.
Right.
And I use Opus Clip for the most part as my calendar.
Nice, yep.
It works well. I know a lot of people use it for making clips. I still make my own clips. I just upload it to Opus Clip and then schedule it out.
It'll cut clips for you, right?
I don't think it's there yet. I don't think it's there yet. And honestly, I'm a bit of a control freak in the sense where I know the narrative I want to tell.
Yeah.
And I know the story. So I'm like, let me just clip it myself, upload it. And then the calendar feature is my favorite feature of it.
So you can put post in.
Exactly. Yeah. You can put the post, schedules it out. And it's funny because I might schedule things out weeks ahead of time. Mm. And then it finally comes up and I see it on my phone and I'll get, oh, this is finally coming out. Cool. All right. And then put the phone away.
I forget that like you did the schedule.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, oh, okay, that's cool. That's finally out into the world. That's neat.
Yep.
But it's been a lot healthier experience for me. And it sounds like you're in a very similar spot with that, because it just allows us to focus on the creation of it,
right,
rather than focus on whatever kind of outward identity or outward validation, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing, right? Like, it's a weird, like psychological balance.
Yes.
When you're making art, like, they say, oh, it's got to be about the art. And that's true. But at the same time, there's something in all of us that's like, we want the world to react. You know what I mean? Like, even, I don't say a bad reaction, but like, you want some type of resonance, you know, because we're putting this stuff into the void. And it's like, just one person saying like, oh, that's great. Like, that makes a big difference.
Yes,
and like,
it does.
I think it's getting harder for people to say things like that. Like, they're just, because we're all bombarded with content, so it's like, it's harder to have something really stick with people to the point that they're gonna like talk to you about it. So it's like, yeah, like that's the balance I've been trying to find, is just like making my work be good enough for me and having that be enough. Because that's the thing, when you're looking for the validation, you're waiting for the world to say, wow, great job. It's, even when you do get that, it's not gonna be enough. You're gonna be like, oh, why didn't, you know, five people told you good job, why didn't six, why didn't seven, you know? It's like, and I've really had to learn that, because it's just, it'll just beat you up. And it does take kind of the heart out of the work when you're thinking that way, because when you're making it for other people, why are you doing it at all? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if it's not good enough for you, you know, you're maybe not in the right thing. And that I knew that when I started music, I think, but when I really got into releasing and, you know, the pressure of making content and stuff like that, I think I lost that to the point that like everything I made just felt so hollow. And that scared me, because I was like, what am I doing? Like, why am I doing this? You know, if it felt so hollow like that, it's like, you know, there was just no soul, no heart left in it. And it did scare me. So I'm grateful now, because I'm finding that joy again, just in the creation.
Yeah.
And I want that to be enough. You know, like, if I can make a song and I like it, I don't care if anybody else doesn't like it. I like it. You know, it's on Spotify and I can go hit play.
Exactly.
It's like, that's enough.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing is the financial pressure. Like, obviously, when you're, that's the part that everybody says, like, oh, it's got to be about the art. And it's like, that's cute. But like, you know, if you're not able to pay your bills or survive, then like, you're doing yourself a disservice by, you know, being that starving artist. You know what I mean? It's like, if you can't survive doing what you love to do, like, that's a really hard place to be in. And, that's kind of where I'm at, is like trying to figure out how to survive with this without burning out, without starting to resent the work.
Mm.
And that's hard, because, you know, like I said, the world isn't really valuing art the same way it used to. It's just changing. So it's like,
expected it to a degree. It's like, since there's so much that you can get online and people can simply just scroll through their phones, you know, they're inundated by stuff, they're numb, you know,
desensitized.
I'll admit, I am to a degree. So I try to step back as much as I can.
Right.
When I'm not working, I try to read, I try to be outside, I try to do other things. Like, I'm still playing guitar all the time, even if I'm not playing out per se, or if I'm not recording. Like,
still writing?
I'm still writing. Oh, yeah. Oh, trust me. We got, hopefully 2026 is the year that I finally release this project that I've been holding on to. Oh, so nice. Oh, hopefully, man. Hopefully. We'll see.
Just get it out. Full send, bro.
Oh, no. It will be a full send. I'm very much looking forward to it. But you're right. What you were saying about doing it for yourself, that's very similar to what I'm thinking with my music as well, where I'm just like, I just want to do this for me, just to say that I did it. Yeah. You know, it's like, that's where I'm at.
Back on it, you know, like.
Exactly. And I look back at my last album. I am so proud of that album. Did it go anywhere? In the grand scheme of things, not really. But wow, am I so proud of that album.
Yeah, and it matters, you know.
And the nice thing about it too, and this is a very interesting time and place, people can discover stuff after the fact, and it can blow up later.
Yeah.
It's crazy how many songs, like, you hear some newer artists these days is like, yeah, I released that song 5 years ago and it didn't 45. Blow. Yeah.
You couldn't have found this song when I was 30. Like,
right. And it's like, yeah, and it blew up all of a sudden because somebody used it here, or I got the right brand deal here, or whatever. It's incredible how we're in a time period now that anything could hit at any time.
Yeah,
and it's crazy.
You're able to build more of an archive. Yes. You know? And it's like, it can, I think this era has given more people that opportunity where it's like, you know, you can create this body of work that may never go anywhere. But like I said, if it's enough for you and it becomes like a little time capsule for you that you can look back on 20 years from now and it still exists, it's still there.
Yeah.
You know, that's enough. But like I said, it's hard when you're expecting it to, when you're waiting, like for me, if I'm waiting for music to save me, that's the problem.
Mm.
When you're waiting for something in your life to like save you is when you start putting in a pressure on it that is going to in the end be the downfall of it.
Mm.
Any art form, even any industry even, but like especially an art form is a really good example of it. Like if you've discovered that you're good at doing something, which I believe everybody has a thing.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of discovery and exploration to like find what that thing is for you.
Yeah.
But once you find that thing that you can do very well and can commit time to develop and hone in skills on, you know, it's just a matter of like, do you want it to pay your bills? And if you expect it to and you're banking on it, it's tough. You know, that's where I've been the past like couple of years. You know, I perform live a lot like that. And that's been great. But in the larger scheme of things, now I'm like, am I going to be able to, you know, raise a family? Am I going to be able to save for the future? Am I going to be able to invest the way I want? Am I going to be able to really create a stable existence for myself? Because I feel like people buy into this starving artist mentality that like you have to suffer for your work. And like, I don't buy that, you know, especially nowadays, there's so many tools out there and stuff. Like you're a good example where you've been able to build yourself what I've been calling like a stability layer.
Yeah.
Where it's good, honest work that you believe in that sits underneath your creative efforts.
Yeah.
And then your creative efforts then can be solely that, where it's like you're not going into the studio thinking of, okay, oh, how am I going to monetize this?
Yeah.
You're just like, how do I create the best thing?
Yeah.
And that's enough. Because like once you get to that place and you can send it, that's when, you know, you take your expectations off of it. Who knows? Like, you know, who knows what happens? Like you said, like down the line, 10 years from now, 15 years from now. But when you release a song and you're waiting for that song to save you today, tomorrow, like it, you're going to burn out.
Yeah.
So that's why I've been really trying to find that stability layer for myself, because right now everything in my life is kind of based on my own creative efforts, which, you know, for a while feels very invigorating. Like, but then when you take away when you stop romanticizing it, the reality is you're just struggling and for no good reason. You know, when you tell your friend that's, you know, 30 with two kids and has a job he hates, that like, oh, you know, I'm trying to make more money playing a guitar. He's not going to hear it. He's going to be like, dude, like you're lucky you get to choose. So I've been really trying to, you know, be careful about the way I'm trying to evolve so that I'm not just burning out on this effort that is just not worth it in the end. You know, it's like, as long as your creative work is meaningful to you and you can survive through other means, that's okay. I think people, like I said, they buy into like, oh, if I'm an artist, I can only be an artist. And it's like,
no,
good luck buying groceries. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's tough. Like,
it is tough. You know, I work with a lot of clients, whether personally or I'm just consulting with them at this point. And one of the things that I always tell them, or I always ask them, is if you never got paid for whatever this project you want to do is, if you never got paid or you see the level of success that you're hoping to with it, will you still be happy? Does it still fill something in your life? And if anybody answers anything but yes, I tell them, then don't do it.
Yeah.
If they tell me yes, if they tell me it was like, yeah, it'll make me happy, or yeah, I want to do this for myself, or there are thousands of good reasons you can give. But if somebody tells me is like, yeah, no, if it doesn't bring in the money or if it doesn't bring in the views, yeah, I probably wouldn't be happy. Then I just tell them, it's like, then you shouldn't do this.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to end up being, you're going to end up building a life on that. And yep. It's like, I think people take for granted how short life is. Like they really do. And like, you know, whether it's your religion or whatever, and you think there's something else, that's fine. I think, you know, if that gets you through the day, I think religion has a really good place in people's lives where it gives them hope. It gives them something to get up, you know, to look forward to and to believe in.
Without a doubt.
So, you know, you can't blame people for that. But if you're wasting the time you're given here because you think you'll have more time later, it's like you're wasting time. And like that's what I see a lot in people, is that they're just spinning wheels, wasting time, thinking that they'll get another chance. Mm. So it's like, yeah, that, you know, trying to take that chance while you have it, but trying to balance it in a way that you're not burning out. I mean, it's a really hard thing. And like, I don't know, lately I've been almost seeing, you know, a creative artistic life as like selfish in a way. Cause it's like the people that don't have that, you know, who's to say, like I said, like my friend that doesn't get to choose, he has to go to a job he hates every day because he knows it's the right, that's what he has to do to support his family and stuff like that. And I'm over here stressing about how do I make this music work? You know, it's like, it's such a different, you know, we're all dealt a different hand of cards in life. And it's neither right or wrong. Some people have more, some people have less. So I don't know. I've been really trying to balance, like, I don't want to see it as a selfish pursuit. But at the same time, who am I? Who am I to think that I deserve this versus somebody else that doesn't even have the opportunity, you know? So it's like, I think I'm in like a very reflective phase of my life right now where I don't really know what's next. I don't really know, you know, I have like in the short term, I have ideas that I'm developing and stuff like that. But in, like I said, the long term is kind of where my head's at right now. Like, where is this trajectory going?
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, I meet people, I meet friends, I meet, you know, partners, whatever. And it's just hard to even convince myself sometimes that I am on the right path. And that's been a big change for me. Cause like for years I was just so like, nah, this is it. I'm just like, if I produce enough music and I go hard enough, like somebody will be like, wow, you're amazing. And then, you know, that idea is kind of slowly starting to burn out. And what's replacing it is like this, maturity, I would say, where I'm starting to view it in a little bit more of a realistic lens, for, like I said, like what I want my future to really look like. Because, you know, when you first start out, you're like, yeah, I want the fame, I want the fortune, I want this and that. But it's like, do you really, you know, you see what some of those people go through. And yeah, they can pay their bills maybe easier than you can, but you don't know the nuance of the problems they're dealing with. And who's to say this little humble life you're trying to develop, you know, you might be better off that way. And maybe nobody will ever know your name in Japan, but it's like, if you can wake up every day, go to the grocery store, get what you want from there, you know what I mean? And not have to like, oh, I want to eat healthy, but that's pretty expensive for rice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like having to get what you want. That's where my head's at now. It's like, I just want to develop a life that I can afford the life I want, with, you know, on my own terms. And you know, if it comes from a creative effort, that'd be ideal. But at the same time, like I said, I'm not banking on that anymore. I'm not feeling like I'm entitled to that. And I think for years I did feel that way, where it's like, oh no, like I'm good enough. Eventually it'll shake out. I'm like, there's a lot of good artists right now. There's more to come. You know what I mean? So it's going to get harder and harder to break through. So you can't bank on that anymore. You got to develop a life that is consistent and grounded today. And then hope that that scales over time.
Yeah.
But if you're just burning out, spinning the wheels now because you think one day you'll have the time to figure everything else out, it's like you're doing yourself a disservice.
I hear a lot of what you're saying, because a lot of the things you're spinning with right now, I feel like I really struggled with last year as I was like really trying to figure things out with this business. And I just want to talk about what you said there about the selfishness of it. It was like, who am I to get to do this?
Right.
you have a gift. I just want to say this right now, and this is coming from my perspective. You don't have to take any of it to heart. You don't have to take it with you and be like, I got to do exactly what Connor said. No.
I'm going to make a shrine.
Based on my perspective and my struggles with this, because I struggled with that as well. It's like, who am I to do this?
Right.
It's like, am I being selfish to go off and do this? We have gifts. Everybody's got gifts. As you said, everybody's got something that they are good at. Everybody's got something that they are good at. You are good at this. And you've already said it already. You had the moment when you're working on this and you kind of like got to this burnout kind of feeling. You started off with good intentions. You kind of got lost in the rat race a little bit. And now you're in this reflective period. I was in a very similar spot. And that's where I got into that whole, am I worth doing this? Yes. Yes, you are. And the way that you're going about the new projects, I think is a great way to do it because you're making it authentic to you. The more and more you're doing it for you, the more and more you're doing this just because it's like, I know I can do this. I want to do this. That time capsule concept that you said, that alone brings so much. And I've seen for myself, I've seen for other artists, how more, funny enough, more people will get on board when the more authentic and the more you're doing it for you.
And it's
so freeing and it allows other things. And then also on the sake of, I'll admit, I got extremely lucky being here. Right. I got extremely, extremely lucky. And I will, can I say that I worked hard? Absolutely. But I will also say that I'm lucky.
Luck only works if you're ready for that moment.
Exactly. So
it's like the work speaks for itself, you know.
But that being said though, you have skills and you have talent. And when I got into this business, I thought I was going to be the touring musician selling records and everything. And that was going to be the only way that I made money.
Right.
But right now, sure, am I still doing music? Absolutely. But I'm also doing these podcasts. I'm doing these social media campaigns. I'm working with MHA. I'm working with a lot of different clients. I am using those same or parallel skills and finding ways to monetize it. I am using my other skills to build myself up. Is it the exact trajectory that I thought it was before? Not exactly. But do I still feel fulfilled in doing it? Yeah, I do. And I feel like based on everything that you're saying, you are on the cusp of finding something really beautiful within yourself. And I hope you find that sooner rather than later. And I hope you don't give up on whatever this all is.
Yeah, thank you, man. Yeah, I think I feel that way too. I always say like my life right now is like 60 to 70% there. Like there's,
all right.
There's moments that I'm like, I feel so connected to just the highest frequencies of love in the world, you know? And it's like, you know, I think that that's what some people would say, God, you know, whatever, whatever your religion is, it all points to this true north within us. And I found that through music, but also just through the way I've been developing my life for the past couple of years.
Yeah.
I found that. And I don't say it's fleeting, but you know, it comes and goes. There's moments that are just so pure. And those are the moments that I sit and reflect and be like, man, if I'm able to, because you know, that's a feeling that some people go their whole lives not feeling. And that's, you know, the unfortunate reality of like, some people are just born into worse situations that they just can't,
a whole
lifetime isn't enough time to get out of. And that's, you know, the unfortunate reality. But I look at like, very grateful that I was dealt the hand that I've been dealt. And I'm able to leverage it in such a way that I can build a life that allows me these moments that just feel so pure. And it's those moments that remind me why I started, remind me why I should keep going. Because like the goal, I guess, should be to just make more of those moments or to sustain that feeling, you know? And the feeling for me subsides, goes away when the, you know, financial pressures start to slip in. You know, you got either you're carrying like student loan debt or whatever it is that's hanging over you. There's always this financial threat that tends to suck that pure joy away. But I like I said, I feel the fact that I'm able to get that feeling, the fact that I have that feeling at times tells me enough to keep going, because you know, like you said, a few things go your way, a few things start to turn for you, and before you know it, every day feels like that. And I do feel close to that because, you know, I've gone through a lot of different kind of phases in my life, different jobs, lived in different places. Like I've seen it all. And I've not seen it all, but like I've lived abroad, I've lived in other countries. Like I've seen enough different iterations of life, and I've never felt that feeling. that I feel now alone in the woods of the Catskills. You know, it's like, so the fact that I've been able to find that feeling, yeah, it tells me that like, this is just a moment. This is a moment in my life that, it's weird because like I'm scared, but it's almost like, it's like a good scare. Like I feel that the work and the thoughts that I'm going through at this point in my life are going to be what set the foundation for my future.
Yes. Yes.
And it's been weird because like I said, the short term, the day to day, there's still a lot of volatility. There's still a lot of questions and stuff, but it's the long term that like, I don't really know what it looks like, but it feels like it's there somewhere. I just got to, you know, turn
almost
the right
tangible,
knobs.
Yeah.
I got to turn the right knobs, do the right things, put the right kind of vibrations out, and you know, stay positive through it all. And I think that'll eventually land me where I need to land, you know?
Yeah. No, I without a doubt agree. You know, last year for me, starting everything up again, thank you for being there in my family room, getting all this started. I say that 2025 was probably one of the scariest and most volatile, most insecure periods of my life. Yet at the same time, I could also say that I never felt more confident in what I was doing, which is such a weird feeling to have.
It's interesting.
It was like, I have nothing to show or back me up on this, but I feel so confident that this is like, no, I believe in myself. I got this. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about God in this discussion, whatever your belief is of God. You know, talking about that selfishness again, it's like, am I selfish for doing something like this? God, the universe, whatever your necessary belief is, bestowed that upon us. You know, that's bestowed upon you, bestowed upon me. These are the blessings and the gifts that we are given. So what are we to not try to indulge in said gifts? Because somehow, some way, not only does that help us, it does help those around us, whether it's on a large scale, small scale, or it is on a larger scale, but we don't necessarily ever get to see how large it does become. But we always have this domino trickle-down effect. So
it's like the famous artist back in the day that died poor, and then their work 100 years later gets, you know, and it connects to people after the fact.
Exactly. You know? I think there's a Jimmy Buffett song, Death of an Unpopular Poet, which is based on a true story. He never saw fame in his lifetime, but then the poet ended up his stuff getting out there in schools. It was adopted into various books, and now a lot of people have, if you've never heard of his name, you probably have actually read something of his at one point or another. Unfortunately, I don't know. But it's one of those things, though, and it's sad. I love the song. I should remember.
His grandkids will be okay.
Generational
wealth, right?
Well, actually, funny enough, he left all of his estate to his dog. Because
his dog's living well. His dog can't be alive.
No, not anymore. That was like in the 60s, I believe.
The dog's grand puppies or whatever.
Exactly. The dogs are doing great.
Best kibble. I mean, no, they're eating farmer's dog.
I was going to say, they're doing better than kibble. You kidding me? No, but...
And pause. We're going to take a quick break from our interviews to hear from our sponsors. First up, we got our friend Andrew O'Grady from MHA of Dutchess County.
This winter and holiday season, let's remember something simple, but powerful. Check in on your neighbors. A quick hello, a phone call, or even a smile can make a world of difference. This is Andrew O'Grady, CEO at Mental Health America of Dutchess County. When we reach out, we're not just helping others, we're helping ourselves. Staying connected is one of the best ways to boost our mental health and well-being. At Mental Health America of Dutchess County, we believe in building a community where no one feels alone. So take a moment today. Make sure you pass along a kind gesture. Because kindness is contagious and connection matters. Who knows, maybe that person you made smile will do the same to somebody else. From all of us at MHA of Dutchess County, we wish you the happiest of holidays. And remember, we want you to be your best you possible.
For 60 years, we here at Foam and Wash Car Wash pride ourselves on giving back to the community. Because we're your neighbors. It's our community too. In celebration of Foam and Wash's 60th anniversary, we want to say thank you. By visiting the link on screen and in the description, you'll receive one free Hot Wax and Shine car wash. No hassles, no gimmicks, just a token of our appreciation. Foam and Wash Car Wash, home of the Unlimited Wash membership. Thank you for being part of Foam and Wash Car Wash's story for the last 60 years.
This episode is also sponsored by Juniors 2. Come on out to Juniors 2 in Poughkeepsie, New York for Thursday Night Trivia, hosted by CMJW Entertainment. Play as a team as you work your way through four rounds of trivia categories in order to win gift certificates and other prizes. Juniors 2 Trivia Nights, every Thursday starting at 7 p.m. at 1126 Dutchess Turnpike, Poughkeepsie.
Next, we have a message from our friend Jeff Feldman from Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, attorneys at law.
Hi, I'm Jeff Feldman. In 1986, when Paul Kleiman and I started our practice, our goal was to create a law firm where you could meet with an attorney and feel confident that that attorney would be with you every step of the way. Today, the firm has been successfully trying cases at all levels of state and federal courts throughout the Hudson Valley and Capital District. We have been selected as one of the best personal injury and medical malpractice defense law firms by U.S. News and World Report every year since 2009. For all of those years, we were the only firm chosen in any litigation specialty between Albany and White Plains. Your case is important to us. Giving you the time and personal attention you deserve has always been the hallmark of success. Initial consultations are free of charge and always with an attorney.
Walsh Wednesday wants to give a big thank you to Prime Storage. A temporary storage unit can help declutter a home, protect fragile items during a busy period, and provide a convenient way to organize and transition belongings. Whatever the reason, Prime Storage makes storage simple through seamless service, flexible rental options, and facilities conveniently located throughout the United States and Canada. By using our link in the description of this episode, you will get one free month of storage, plus you'll save 15% on rental rates. Make the holiday season simpler and store with Prime Storage. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. Thanks for listening, guys. It's time to get back to the show. And play. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by MHA of Dutchess County, Foman Wash Car Wash, Juniors 2, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Sape, LLP, Attorneys at Law, Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation. Before we get back to this interview, we're going to go and play another Shane Renison song. This one is called Ghost.
All right. There's Ghost. Take one.
just a long way from home. Oh, oh, oh. 'Cause I'm a long way from home. I can feel it in my soul. Guess I always was a ghost to you. Oh, oh, said I'm a long way from home. Oh, oh. And I can feel it in my soul. Guess I always was a ghost to you.
It's one of those things where you don't always know right away. What was Vincent Van Gogh? That's another example of that.
Tortured poet,
yeah. Tortured artist altogether, and you know, really didn't see the fame of his worth. You know, while he was alive.
Tesla's
another great example of
he
that.
Crazy, and he was. I mean, he was like completely insane.
You have to be a little bit.
Well, that's what I was like. I was talking to somebody about it. I was like, is it delusion? Is it like you talk to some of these famous like celebrities that have made it and stuff and hear what they had to go through and still was able to convince themselves like, nah, this will work out. Like that to me is delusion. And it's like, it's almost like you got to have a little bit of delusion to convince yourself like, nah, it'll work out. It's like, you know, you got to balance that obviously with a little bit of realism to like I said, not have to suffer through it.
Yep.
But at the same time, maybe that's what it is. Like
you need to have a balance of it. There's, I don't know. I like to think I'm a little delusional, but I'm grateful that I am to a degree.
Right. So without that, you'd be like, oh, let's just play it safe.
Exactly. You know, and I don't want to do that. I don't.
Why bother? Like, you know.
Yeah, I've seen what playing it safe can do for other people, and it's not necessarily the path I want to go down. That whole Vincent Van Gogh thing I was talking about, I wish this was actual reality. But there's this Doctor Who episode where the Doctor brings Van Gogh to a Van Gogh exhibit to see how people are enjoying his art and how people are talking about his art. And first of all, the actor that they got to play Van Gogh looked so much like Van Gogh.
Yeah,
and then second of all, just the emotion that the character had while seeing that is like, here he thought he was this failure, but now seeing the way that everything that he did was going to be appreciated really truly moved him. And I think about that for myself sometimes where I'm like, it's like, I'm doing this for whatever legacy that I'm building, whatever that's going to be. I don't know what that legacy is going to be. So I might as well at least put in good work for a good one. So.
Well, yeah, because it's like, why did Van Gogh, Tesla, all these people, if they were so tortured, why'd they bother?
Yeah.
You know, why spend all day work or spend however long, years sometimes working on a piece if they are tortured? You know, that to me is powerful because it's like even the people in the depths of their insanity knew that
they had to.
They had to.
They were compelled to do it.
Right. And like that is powerful because I think, you know, we're fortunate to live in this era to have all this information at our fingertips. We can dissect the nuances of what our efforts actually are. Back then, he's like, I'm going to paint.
Yeah.
period.
Yep.
It's like, you know, do you make money? No. Like, are you like an alcoholic? Yes. Like, but it's like, what do? I paint.
Do you
get paid to paint? No. Or do you, you know, it's like, they didn't care. Like, they just, and I think back then, it was maybe, you know, who knows, obviously, how they were experiencing it. But I just feel like nowadays, like, that tends to be my problem is I overthink the effort where it's like, it's like, oh, I'm drawn to music. But, you know, for like I said, the past couple of years, I've dissected that to a point of like, it got to the point that I'm like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Now I'm rediscovering my love for it. I'm rediscovering the value, like I said, just for me. Like, you know, I was always looking like, I'd write a song and be like, all right, what's the value for this song for other people? Like, are they going to like it? Are they going to listen to it?
Yeah.
Now I'm asking that for me, where it's like, when I put a song out, like, what's the value for this song for me? And I was like, well, I love listening to it.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Enough. You know, it's like, you got to really teach yourself to let it be enough and just full send, man. Just get it to a place that you feel good about it, full send, and keep it moving, keep working on kind of the next thing. And yeah, because what you're doing is you're creating this archive, you're creating this body of work that hopefully will exist, you know, long after you go. Yeah. And that's, you know, who knows? Well, once it's out of your hands, you don't know. You don't know who it's going to resonate with. You don't know how it's going to impact other people. But I always say, like, now especially, like, if you can convince yourself, or if you can feel something in your own work, then that feeling exists out there. So Amen. Somebody else will feel that same thing. So I've just been trying to really get super intentional with the songs, the visuals, and everything to make sure that the song is saying what I want it to say for me.
Yep.
Because then, at least then, it might not resonate with other people, but at least I know the message is clear.
Yeah.
And then it has the best chance to help other people, to resonate with other people. And then that's when you full send.
Yep.
Get it out, you know, get it, clear it out of your system creatively.
Yep.
And kind of make space for something new. And it's a tough exercise, you know. I think we all have to find our own rhythm with that, you know, with the creative efforts we're doing. And there's no book, you know what I mean? You can read all the books in the world, and it's not going to tell you how you, Shane Renison, make this all work. And it's like,
yeah.
You know, you got to kind of write your own book in a way, I think, you know.
And figure it all out. Absolutely. But what you were saying there about the overthinking, that's anxiety. And what's the best medication for anxiety? Action. Action is the best medication for anxiety. So simply, as you said, that full send, when you find something that's authentic to you, again, authenticity and action overcome anxiety any day. So there okay. you go. So you mentioned before how you had these moments of just, you know, this bliss, this connection, those moments of like, okay, this is why I'm doing it kind of moments.
Right.
Is there anything that comes to your head right now when I ask you is like, could you give me an example or one or two of those moments?
I think, for example, my weekends are usually very busy. And my weekdays are when I can do more constructive work, like, mm-hmm. You know, sitting at home, laptop stuff. And it's those moments, especially in the summer. So like when I'm coming out of like a crazy weekend, running around, doing a million things. And then now it's like Tuesday, 3 p.m. and I'm just home. You know what I mean? And I have an opportunity to do whatever I need to do. Or it's like, hey, my back hurts. Let's do 10 minutes of yoga. Like, oh, mm-hmm. I have a chance to cook a full meal tonight. Let's go to the market and get like enough stuff to make like a dope meal. It's like, oh, I was up till 4 a.m. on Saturday. That was 2 days ago. Tonight I can sleep later. So let's go to bed early and sleep in tomorrow to make up for that lost time. So it's like when I have the time to really sit and craft the physical existence that I want, mm-hmm. That's when I realize that like I'm on the right path. And like, maybe that's what I've been starting to think, like maybe the music, you know, I think I do love it, but maybe something within me is telling me this is my opportunity to get more of those moments. Because like I said, my biggest fear at this point in my life is waste of time. Because I think there's more to life than we're able to comprehend.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't necessarily think that like me, Shane Renison, is going to be conscious after I die. You know, I think our energy, I think, exists beyond us.
Yeah.
So, you know, wherever that energy goes, it'll feed into the rest of the universe. But like our physical identity, our subjective identity, I think is what dies. And I think that's what people are so afraid of. You call it ego death or whatever, but like, you know, people are afraid of not existing, you know, their life story, you know, who they are, this life they developed. That's what they're afraid of losing. And I'm not so much afraid of losing that in the end. Like, hopefully I get the opportunity to like live for a long time. And when that time comes, it's okay. But like in this moment, it's like, okay, if I only have a limited amount of time to be Shane Renison in this physical existence, this physical moment, how do I really take advantage of every second? And it's really affected relationships, I would say, the most in my life, be it everything from family to friends to like romantic partners, because not everybody is willing to talk at that depth. You know, some people go their whole lives afraid of dying, and that's what it is. When you're 98 or whatever, like, you're terrified because you spent your whole life not thinking about it. Whereas I, for whatever reason, you know, I had an experience in high school with you know, some psychedelics that triggered something in me that, like, since that moment, I am just hyper aware of how fragile this all is. You know, we wake up every day and we toil with our lives and we work through these problems that we think are real problems, when the reality is like we're a speck of dust floating in the universe. And you can choose to be scared about that fact, but I've been starting to see like it's beautiful. It's beautiful. The fact that we exist, the fact that there's water, like little things like that blow my mind now and have for years now. And to the point that like I tend to be too heavy when I meet people, because not everybody's ready to hear that. Not everybody wants to talk that heavy. You know, maybe they go to work and they don't like their job and now they're just at the bar hanging out. That's their opportunity to talk about the Mets or something. And here I am talking about like existential, you know what I mean? And that's just how I'm wired at this point. And that's what kind of fuels me. So I do have a hard time connecting with people. I almost find sometimes I have to like really dial that back until people really get to know me. Mm. And you know, then maybe they're ready to hear it and I can, you know, open up something in them and they start to understand it. But a lot of times I just, you know, I end up opening up too quick and people just think I'm crazy because it's like, they're just not ready to hear, you know.
Trust me. I get it. I get it. You know, my best friend from high school and I, we have conversations just like this and we say to each other is like, we can't have these discussions anywhere else.
I know.
Like there was one time my girlfriend and a couple other friends were with us and somehow we got into a very, very deep conversation and him and I are just bouncing off each other
at the bar
and everybody around us is just so toned out.
Yeah.
Like they are lost. They are frazzled. They're like, I can't even with this. And, and I, at one point I just go, I was like, hey bud, I think we lost everybody. It's like,
how about the Yankees? Like,
yeah.
Bring it back down to earth.
Like, yeah. Bring it back down. And then we're like, all right, how do we get everybody else back into the conversation? But you're right. It is difficult to have those conversations at times because I feel the way that, you know, Western civilization at least is very in the moment or not in the moment, actually, the fact that we're not in the moment enough. We're always having anxiety towards the future and always worried about the next, carrying the past too. That's big. Exactly. Carrying the past, focused on the future, looking towards the next big thing, running at a million miles a minute.
And your present is spent worrying about those two things.
And you're never in the moment enough. And I found your answers to that question about like those golden moments, those precious moments, fascinating. Your moments were in the moments of the stillness and the moments to yourself. Remember, you can't pour from an empty cup. Those are the moments that you get to regroup, recharge, and be Shane Renison.
Exactly.
Those are the moments that make you ready for the next big Saturday night where you're out till 4 a.m. putting your heart out on stage or whatever it is in your life.
Right.
It's those Tuesdays at 3 o'clock where you're making that dope meal for yourself or you're taking that moment for yoga or you're just
like
in this moment of stillness where you can appreciate being you and being alive. That is being present, man. That is being present. That is being there. And those are the moments that life are about. Don't think you're wasting. That's not wasted time.
No.
That's time where you're acknowledging who you are, why you're here, and how much of a blessing that is. And that's beautiful.
Yeah, and I guess like my whole point is like I am trying to develop a life where I get more of those moments. And I think that's really become my goal. You know, like when I first started, my mind was on, you know, the fame, the fortune, and all that. And now, like I said, my main focus is like, how do I secure that cabin in the woods near the organic market with enough gigs to like survive? And like, I don't know, that's where my mind goes to like, at the end of the day, it's like, that's all great, but where's the money going to come from? And that's kind of what scares me is like, I hope I don't have to sacrifice too many of those moments in order to survive. And that's where the whole, it comes back to like selfishness and stuff like that. Cause like I said, some people, they don't even have time to experience that joy cause they're dealing with whatever their situation is. So there's a certain amount of gratitude. I have every single moment because I'm like, man, like who am I? But at the same time, like, who am I, you know, like, why not me? Why not me? You know, take advantage of this opportunity. Cause I'd be doing, it'd be worse if I had this opportunity with this life and I didn't take it. And I think that's on my mind also. It's like, you know, there's something to be said about having a certain good hand of cards and not being afraid to play them. And
without a doubt,
you know, not being, not having to apologize for that, you know, and just me being who I am, that's hard. It is hard because I've always been kind of, especially in my adult life, more quiet, more reserved. Because I would convince myself like, you know, I'm focused on this bigger thing down the line. Whereas now it's like, you know, how do you build a life that way and make it sustainable? And I'm still figuring that out. But like I said, the fact that I do have those moments from time to time is enough to convince me that just keep going, you know?
Yeah. With that being said, of course, you do have plans moving on with your music, at least. You say you have more releases coming out.
Yeah, make it seem like I'm not doing anything.
You very much are. And I want to give you a moment to get back to that for a second here, because we started off with the Lonely Days video, and again, which I loved it so much. I thought
Thank
it was
you.
Great.
I think it's my best, my best visual work, definitely, to date, you know.
The production of it was fantastic, and you can tell the collaboration
that Brandon Warden, a filmmaker out there. He's a good friend of mine.
Fantastic.
He's phenomenal. He's got a new movie out called Midnight Boulevard. You can check it out on YouTube.
All right.
Shout out for Brandon. But he's
we'll link that in the description. I'll find it. Share it with me later or something.
I will.
No, that sounds great. But again, you do have plenty that you're working on. So what can people, new fans, old fans, regardless, what can they expect out of this new release schedule that you're putting out when it comes to your music?
Yeah, so we just put out Midnight Special, which is a really good song. I really love that one. So that one just came out a couple weeks ago. So you can check out Midnight Special. That's on all streaming platforms, YouTube, you can find it too. So that was the most recent single, which was really cool, a lot of fun to shoot. The next one is called Out the Window, which will be coming out. That one's pretty much locked. All the assets are shoot. That one's a really cool one because for the visuals of that one, I live in the Borscht Belt era. I live, you know, the Borscht Belt?
Yep.
So people that aren't familiar with the Borscht Belt in the Catskills, it's basically back in like the early 50s to like the 70s, there was a big Jewish population from New York City that would come up to the Catskills to vacation. And they made it, you know, they brought a lot of culture and a lot of hotels sprung up in my area to support these people coming up for their vacation. And then around basically once air travel became more accessible, it's like, hey, are we going to drive to Catskills or are we going to fly to Cancun? So it's like towards like the 70s, 80s, the Borscht Belt era started to die down. Long story short, a lot of those hotels, there was thousands of them in the heyday. A lot of them are sitting in complete despair. And, you know, a lot of them have burnt down, been torn down, blah, blah, blah. But my whole life, you know, we'd be like in high school, we'd break into one called Grossinger's, which everybody is famous up in the area. And it was amazing. There was this pool room filled with glass, and it was just all graffitied and moss growing. And we'd break in and, you know, be drinking Four Locos and stuff, like hanging out in there. So I just always, there's something about, I think my life is very, I would say polished and kind of minimal, very whatever. So there's something in me that's so fascinated by like disarray because it's like so foreign to me that like I just love seeing derelict structures and like there's something weird. I don't know why I like it.
There's something about the history about it too. It's like you're kind of like looking around. Moment. It's like, what is all of this? It's like if all of this could just speak to me right now, what would it say?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it would have some stories to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we, you know, I grew up kind of going into all these hotels, and then with this song coming out next month called Out the Window, it's basically, you know, it's this idea of like jumping out the window, you know, like in like this metaphor of like being so fed up with your existence, you're going to go out the window.
Yeah.
So I was trying to think of like something, it brought me to another like dream kind of space, that was kind of, whatever. So I thought of, there's this one hotel that has been around for years and it's just in such bad condition. And I know any day they're going to tear it down, and I drive by it all the time, and it was just so cool. And in high school, I thought nothing of it. So break and enter, man. Like whatever. Yep. As an adult, I'm like, you know, I'm like, maybe I'll call the cops and be like, hey guys, can I just go in for like a few, like I was trying to find a way to like get permission.
Right.
And then one day I'm like, you know what? I called up my friend. I was like, listen, grab your camera. We're going to go into this hotel. We're going to sneak in 15 minutes, get the shots we need. We're out.
Amazing.
And she was totally into it. Faith Kelly, another good friend of mine, you go check her out. She's amazing. So she was totally down. We went in there, got a bunch of footage. So that one coming out next month, you'll see all the visuals. It's awesome. I mean, it's basically me running around this abandoned hotel.
Lovely.
Similar to Lonely Days, but the place we use for Lonely Days is still an active business in whatever. So it's not as like the place we shot this at, like it was dangerous. To me, you know, it's one of those places you step on the wrong crack, the building's coming down. So that one's gonna be really cool. That one's called Out the Window. That'll be coming out probably in April. After that, we have a song called Knocking at the Door,
okay,
which is a really cool one. That one, I'm looking into creating an animated music video with some people.
Oh, wow.
So that'll be really cool because I've always wanted to do a kind of an animated version of my visual identity in my music. So that'll be kind of my first run at that. So that's I'm just getting into like the storyboard, the script and all that for that. So that'll be exciting. That'll probably come out more towards like late spring, going into the summer. There's a song called Poor Drunk Man that is one of my best lyrical songs I think I've written. That one's going to be that one. We have a music video concept in like the dead of summer. It'll be shot like in like a camping kind of scene.
Oh, neat.
So that one will be shooting in the summer, which will come out after that. And then that's the last song that I have produced. So pretty soon I'm going to be getting back in the studio to get new songs ready. So like I said, my goal is to just have singles kind of just lined up for until I, you know, get tired of them. But we got a bunch of songs coming out. Working on some really cool kind of like community events throughout the summer. There's this one that I'm really honored to be a part of. It's a Holocaust remembrance event.
Wow.
And I'm being tasked to meet with a bunch of Holocaust survivors and other people that are, you know, adjacent to the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And hearing their story and then trying to develop an original composition to share at the event in the summer. So that's a pretty heavy thing. I met with a Holocaust survivor last week and got her story. And that just feels like really important work. So I'm really honored to have that opportunity. That'll be happening probably in the summer as well. And yeah, you know, just really kind of chipping away at it. So you can go check out all the new music. I'm also producing a YouTube long form series, kind of like
more
stripped back. I won't say podcasty, but it's my way of showing kind of the behind the scenes of my process. So it's, you know, I'll be sharing some original music, some doing some of my covers and stuff, and then just kind of talking kind of like this, like
nice.
Kind of talking about where my head's at with everything. And just gives me because I do have a lot of, you know, deep thoughts like this that help me. So I feel that they can help other people that are in similar situations. Yeah. So I wanted to create more of a platform to present that style of work for myself. So that's in the process. We have the first couple episodes being worked on now. So hopefully I'll get those kind of ready to come out soon. And yeah, just kind of, you know, this year for me, the biggest goal was just make the music, make the work good enough for me again.
Yeah.
And let that just be enough, you know, yeah. And then full send it. Whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. No, that's beautiful. Yeah. So with this latest era that you're working on, starting with Lonely Days, and as it keeps going outward to, you said Out the Window is the last one in this
out
one. Oh, no.
Drunk Man.
Poor Drunk Man is the last. From Lonely Days to Poor Drunk Man, do you feel like there is some kind of lyrical or musical narrative that you're telling with these stories? Obviously, you're trying to create this visual identity for all that, and I'm sure that's going to play a part into it. Mm. But do you feel like there's something with this latest string of music that, like, lyrically or narratively, you feel sets it apart as a new era for you, besides just how you're releasing them?
Yeah, I would say that's what's cool about doing the singles, is like every song is its own thing. Whereas, like, when I put the album together, you kind of want to make every song flow into each other. You know, it kind of, the album shares like a common theme,
mm-hmm.
which is cool. That's, you know, that's one way to go about creating a project. But why I'm enjoying the singles is like every song gives you that opportunity to like, no, it's just this song. So every song is its own movie. It's its own world that you could step into. So yeah, lyrically, they're all very different. I would say some of them share common themes of like desolation, you know, despair, and then picking yourself back up from those places. So I think when all the songs are out, you'll probably be able to listen to all of them and hear kind of the commonality between them.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, some of them aren't my direct experiences. They're taken from other people's experiences. So there's a lot mm-hmm. of I would say different threads for people to follow with all of them. And then lyrically, yeah, like I had an opportunity with all of them to really, like I said, just focus on one song at a time. So every song, I think this is, the songs coming out are going to be some of my deepest work in terms of like the emotional depth, the emotional character. There's going to be a lot more that I think, and that's again, like, you know, the average consumer now, the average listener and stuff, they might not want that, you know, they might not want that depth, but for the people that do want it, it'll be there. They can look into it. You know, the musicality is still very important. So you might not know what the hell I'm saying, but you'll be able to vibe with the music. Musicians out there will respect the musicianship of it, because you know the players I had on a lot of these tracks are just phenomenal. So like everything from like the bass line to the drum line, like it's not just basic drum parts. Like a drummer will hear it and be like, ooh, like what is it? Like, you know, they'll want to try to see what we're doing, try to like dissect it. So that's why I'm really excited to share these, because like it gave me an opportunity to really make every song you know, bring it to a new level for myself. So it was a good challenge.
That's
and like
beautiful.
I said, just being able to focus one song at a time, it allows me to squeeze everything out of that one song before I send it out, so that I know there's something there. And I think that's something I had to learn, because like in the beginning, you know, some of my songs, like, you know, some of the lyrics would make sense. Some would, I was more focused on just making the thing. Whereas now it's like, I want to make sure it's a complete thought, a complete idea.
Yeah.
Make sure the visual identity is intact, so that it gives people the best chance to understand it and interpret it properly. So
you're giving it the most care. This sounds like a very care-centric moment for you in that case.
Yeah, it is, definitely.
That's lovely. Shane, we're coming towards the end of this episode, but one of the things that I really want to leave this episode on, we're talking about how 2026 seems to be an era of reflection for you. With that moment of reflection, one of the best things to always do is to look towards the gratitude. So as we're wrapping up this episode right here, what are some of the things that you were most grateful for walking into 2026 with what you have in the can already, what you know that you're working with? And also, it doesn't have to be anything work-related. Just what are you grateful to have here in 2026?
I would say family, for sure, has been a big thing for me. Being able to have, you know, direct family, siblings, parents, even outward, everything from like cousins. I just have good people in my life. And that has gotten me through a lot of dark times in my life. It's really gotten me through a lot, having, you know, just a solid support system around me. So that I'm extremely grateful for that. Like, because I the more people I meet, the more I just see how rare it's honestly rare.
Yeah.
Like, you know, to have like a brother any time of day you just call, a sister any time of day you can call. A mom that's arguably calling me too much, you know, like those little things that, like, you know, growing up, I took it for granted. I would, like, you know, I'd talk to my friends like, oh, my mom's calling me again. And they're like, I don't have a mom. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, there's this heaviness that the more people you meet, it puts into perspective kind of what you're dealing with. And so I've gotten to a point that I'm just so grateful for just the simple things in my life. The fact that I am healthy, you know, the fact that I'm able to wake up every day, open my eyes and just feel good, you know, jump up out of bed and know that I have a slew of opportunities in front of me, most of which are coming to me on my own accord, you know, through efforts that I've done and put through. You know, I don't really have a boss, so to speak. I work at a brewery part time, the Catskill Brewery. Go check them out. The beer is amazing.
Good people.
My unbiased opinion, obviously, but you know, that's my only like structured job at this point. And my boss is, you know, one of my good friends. You know, she's great. So I'm really grateful to be in a position where I don't really have anybody pointing me in any specific direction. So it allows me the opportunity to explore, to kind of figure out what I want my path to look like. And I realize that might not be something that lasts. You know, eventually you might fall into a position that you are in a more structured role.
Yep.
But for this moment, I'm very grateful for that because it is giving me that time to reflect, that time to question, that time to grow and evolve so that when the time comes, I'm more confident stepping into those type of roles. So that's great. And I'm really just grateful for, I mean, it sounds cliche, but just the opportunity to be alive, you know? I mean, like I always say, like, who am I, you know, like to have this opportunity to be alive, to exist, to toil with the problems you have in your day to day, like, even though, you know, even the worst days I have, there's always this voice that reminds me, like, dude, you're lucky to have these problems. You know, something actually that really stuck with me recently, I forgot where I heard it, but it might've been like a stand-up comedy routine. This guy was talking, but he got really real. And he was like, yeah, I heard this story about God came down to us and he said, okay, guys, I know everybody's complaining about their problems. Throw your problems in the middle. Throw your get rid of all your problems. Throw them into the middle of the ring. Okay. And so everybody on earth, they can't wait to just get rid of their problems and throw them away. And he's like, all right, step back. Everybody steps back. He's like, now go find your problems. And everybody rushes in and they're trying to find their problems and they realize somebody else took their problems and now they're left with a worse problem because everybody else wants, you know, so it's like, it's this idea that, like, no matter how bad you think you got it, there's somebody out there that wishes that was their problem. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's really stuck with me recently where it's like, you know, I'm sitting here worrying about what my future is going to look like with music and stuff like that. And it's like, dude, I am so grateful to have that problem. I'm so grateful that my problems are my problems because it's like, I know how fragile this all is. I know how quick it can all just change and all be different. So the fact that I get to wake up, I get to feel good about at least my problems right now. That's something I'm just grateful for every day because, you know, it's before you know it, it's gone, it's different. You'll be wishing you had those problems back.
It's very true. That is very, very true. Shane, I think that's probably one of the best spots that we could possibly end this episode.
Yeah.
I'm grateful that you are here. I hope you're grateful to have this moment together. I'm so glad that we're able
grateful
to talk.
New space, dude.
Amen. It's good. And hey, happy to keep having you back working here, even if it's not for Walsh Wednesday, whatever it might be, you know, however we can work.
Man. I'm happy to see things going well for you. And
I appreciate it.
You know, I think it's just the beginning.
Yeah, honestly, it's moving forward, but it's also still just the beginning for you. Of course, Irrational is out. That has been out, but you should make sure that you check out all the other singles and music videos. We're going to have all the links in the description of this episode so you guys can find that. And obviously, when the summer is up and going, obviously, it's still very... We're today is fake spring, hence why I'm getting to wear all my tropical stuff.
To drop next week.
Oh, it's going to drop big time, and I'm going to be back in my parkas, but I'm enjoying it for what it is right now. But when the summer comes along, you know you'll be seeing this guy out and about performing. Make sure that you check that out, and we'll have all the updates for you guys. So again, Shane, thank you so much for being here on Walsh Wednesday.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you again to Shane Renison for his awesome interview today. We got one last video we want to show you. This is for his song, Irrational.
Last night I left and didn't care what it cost. You just had to. personal.
I'm Connor.
And I'm Shane.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode. Much love to our sponsors this week, MHA of Dutchess County, Foman Wash Car Wash, Juniors 2, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Loxat Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman Kleiman Collins & Safe LLP, Attorneys at Law, Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon.